All right, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask you to turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading in the very first verse. 1 Samuel chapter 2. In the first verse. The Bible says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren have borne seven, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth woe and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to make them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength no man shall prevail."
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for your blessings and your watch care. We thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we praise you this morning for just sitting on your throne and just for being God. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, because that's what we stand in need of. Lord, we dare not rely on self and on self sufficiently, but depend wholly on you. Lord God, we praise you for what you do. Lord, we lift you up and give you great glory every day for just being here. Lord, for all things being under your feet. We pray these things in the sweet and the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this morning we'll look into our text. And we'll be preaching on enjoying the perfect will of God. The very perfect will of God. And let me say and start off, most of us do not abide there, but most, the vast majority of believers today abide in what I call the permissive will of God. Now they're saved, they're on their way to glory, but they do things really that's in direct rebellion to the Word of God. They do not follow Him in its entirety. And as we look in the story of Hannah, I really think that that was Hannah's beginning, and she eventually found out what was important in her life, and that was serving God. She found out even more important than Samuel, that serving God was the most important. Now, we want a lot of things in the flesh, and most of them we will never receive. And the reason why is that we don't need them. Not one of you under the sound of my voice have less than your needs. And the Bible says, with food and raiment, be with their content. Now, every one of us had much more of that just to start the day off, because somewhere we got out of a warm bed and we had a night of sleep without dew and without rain and without the cold weather that came through the night. And so we ought to count ourselves happy and blessed even at that. But many times we don't. In the text verse, the Bible says, "And Hannah prayed." Now, we're going to read the prayer of Hannah and how she lifted up the Lord and gave Him great praise. But what I want you to see that you won't find in Hannah's prayer is any "Lord, would you please us?" Lord, would you grant? Lord, would you provide? Everything that Hannah said was just praising God for who He was and giving Him great honor and glory. And that should be the bulk majority of our prayers. You know what? When I sit in most services, I never hear anybody say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for..." for bringing me here to this place. You don't hear people say, Lord Jesus, you're high and lifted up. God the Father, Jehovah, you are above all things. We praise you for that. And the only thing I'd say about that is why?
Yeah.
And the only reason I'd give you is that we're ashamed. Because if we did that, don't you think there'd be a few labels that would come with that? Well, that crazy bunch is Pentecostal. But see, the thing about praying in the Bible, I think Brother Adam pointed out, there's only 7 words concerning need in the model of prayer. The rest of it was praiseworthy. The rest was giving him glory and honor and praise for who he is. And so Hannah had learned that. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Now, she had a great miracle that came to pass, and that was the bearing of Samuel after she was barren for many, 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 many years. But here we find that her joy didn't come from Samuel. Her joy came from the Lord. And I'll say this morning, what the problem is with many of us today, we're looking for our joy in the wrong place and in the wrong things of this world. Joy is, you will never, ever, ever satisfy this flesh. You know why? Because it's depraved. And if it gets 2, it's going to want 4. And if it gets 4, it's going to want 8. And if you get a brick house, it's a 3-bedroom brick. You remember in the 60s, that was everybody's dream. Now it's a 4-bedroom brick. And if we don't satisfy ourselves with that, then we're going to, we want 7 or 8 bedrooms that we never even use. And that is the nature of the flesh. It cannot be quenched. It cannot be satisfied. And I believe Hannah had got to the knowing part of this. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. Now, the horn that she was speaking of, in that day, they cried out praise a great deal. And what she could not do, she now says is full. It's exalted. I'm lifting it up. Really hurt the difference in her prayer when Eli thought she was drunk, and now was the content of the prayer. She was in that give me, give me, give me stage before. And now she just said, blessed be the name of the Lord. See, we need to get past this little pitiful prayer. That's really the story of Hannah, is she learned to be satisfied. She learned to be glad with whatever the Lord gave her. And you know what? We do too. We want too much in the flesh. And instead of always feeding this natural flesh, what we should have a desire is finding the perfect will of God. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Now, I want you to see what she says. Now, I do believe Penina was her enemy. But Penina was nothing more than an example of what the devil will do. Now, there's a Penina in everybody's life. What you do with her is up to you. Now, if you're not very careful, you'll run after Penina all the time and put her down and complain about Penina and let her push the buttons that she wants to get the exact results that she likes. That's a Penina in your life. And what I would suggest you to do is don't give Penina what she wants. Because just like your flesh, you will not satisfy Penina. If she can gig you, she'll gig you twice next time to get a better response. That is how the enemy does. And so when she says, I've got great victory, in addition to getting victory over Penina, she finally realized how little and insignificant Penina was. Why? Because she was rejoicing in the Lord. She was glad with what she had. She was glad with what she could do. Now, and that's another thing about this event. Whatever you can do, do it. If you can't do nothing but show up to services, do it.
Because what I have found, if you don't, it will be taken from you. Verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord. Now, I want you to see concerning holiness that she came to this. There's none holy as like the Lord. Now, holy we often think of sinlessness, but holy really means determined. In other words, many years ago, Matthew made this for a specific purpose, and we had our missionary card here, and we had the current missionary letter there, and it fulfilled its purpose for many, many years. That is a holy thing in the sense it was fulfilling its purpose. That's what holy means. It means determined or useful. Now, most of the time, we're not. Remember when Moses went to the backside of the desert and he saw the bush burning that was not consumed. And when he approached it, God said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. In other words, it was determined, useful ground. And what was its purpose? To burn a bush that wouldn't burn. That it was fulfilling its purpose. Now, most of us today are not very holy people. And the reason why we're not fulfilling our purpose. If He saved you, you know what? He's got a purpose for you. And it's not simply to show up for church. It's not simply to go about in a meaningless life. It is to do the bidding of Christ. That's why He saved you. That's why He said concerning Mary, He says, Mary had chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken from her. Somewhere along the way, Mary found out it was more important to sit at Jesus' feet than anything else. And most of us never get to that point. Most of us never reach and say, hey, you know what? I'm looking at this thing all wrong. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. In other words, there's nothing else you can rest on. There's nothing else that you can place your confidence in. There's nothing, you know, if your life this morning is not resting on the Lord fully, something is wrong. And most of us, and listen, I put myself in that number, most of us never do that. We are resting on something else. We're looking our nose down our noses at somebody else. That's what Penina's problem was, and say, woo, I have 7 children and you ain't got none. And most of the, you know what? What I found when I get a little self-righteous, it always comes home to me. You know what? The flesh is still depraved in every way. I've often thought about Penina, if she was lost or saved. And a lot of people say, well, Penina was lost. I don't know about that. Penina might have just been fleshly. She was going down to the temple, was she not? So I don't know what Penina was spiritually, but I do know this. She knew how to gig people, but we do too. Verse 3, talk no more so exceeding proudly, let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Now I want you to notice two principles that Hannah had learned, and she says, first of all, don't you let any arrogance come out. Arrogance like, you know what? My children are better than your children. My clothes look a little bit nicer than what you have on. I'm more separate than you are. That's arrogance. You know what? If the Lord has shown you those truths, you rejoice in them and you cherish them in your heart, and don't you look your nose down at nobody.
Amen.
Because you know what? He can rip them away what He gives you. He can take them back.
Amen.
Right? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we see then that Hannah had got to the point that Penina was no longer an issue to her. She was focused on the Lord. Then I want you to know that she understood this. And by Him, and by God, and by the Father, by Him, actions are weighed. In other words, you know what? I'm not going to get stuck up on Penina because her actions is going to be ruled by a sovereign God someday. And I'm not worried about Penina. What I'm worried about is my relationship with Almighty God, and let Penina take care of Penina. Her actions will be weighed down the road. And you know what? If you have a beef with somebody, it's going to be weighed out way down the road, and you leave it at the feet of Jesus. You know, the problem is we take stuff to the feet of Jesus, and we pick it right back up and leave it.
Amen. That's it.
Amen. And you know what? We should leave it there.
Yeah.
You know what a troublemaker does? Carries junk around with him. Every time Penina had an opportunity, she looked down through there and says, "You see my seven children?" She lined them up by birth order and carried them into the temple. "You see, Hannah, what I got? And Hannah, you see what you don't have? I'm better than you, Hannah." See, she finally got to the point. She wasn't weighing things about what other people had. And what we need to do as the Lord's people is quit weighing spiritual success. Now, not very many of us have a whole lot of worldly goods. We should be satisfied. You know, again, we have much more than most. Every one of us do. But quit weighing your success in those terms. Quit weighing yourself with how much you've got and say, "Look here what I've done." You know what? I've seen some of the most happy spiritual people in a house caving in around them. When I did home health, right up this next house up, took care of a little lady there, and the house wasn't much better than what it is right now. It's one thing you had to kind of walk on boards and not walk on a certain part of the floor because you're going to cave in. You know what? She was happy in the Lord. You know what? I never heard in all those years saying, "Larry, I'm sorry about my house." She wasn't embarrassed by it. You know what she was? She's satisfied. And before she let me even take her blood pressure, she said, "Sit down here, Larry. Let's talk about the Lord." You know what? She had her priorities in check. She knew what was important. At that time, she was 96. And you know what? We need to be like that. We need to be people that are very, very satisfied. And Hannah had gotten things in the right order. She understood now. Verse 4. "The bows of the mighty are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength." Now, she's comparing herself again to the enemy. She says, "The bows of the mighty are broken." Now, anywhere in this text did it say that Penina's children had died? No. They were still living. But you know what? Penina couldn't use them against her no more. That little gig was broken. But you know why? She had her focus on the right thing. I believe Hannah had gotten right with the Lord. In addition to being blessed with that blessed son, Samuel, she finally understood priorities. She finally understood what was really important in this life. She wasn't worried about comparing herself to other people. And when we get to that point, when we begin to just focus on Jesus and quit focusing on ourselves and how we compare to others, the Lord will do great things. Verse 5, "They that were full have hired themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren had borne seven, and she that had made children is waxed feeble." Now, this, the reason I say she's not talking about herself and Penina entirely is because at this point, Hannah had only born one. She had little Samuel. And you know what? She never even bore seven. She bore six, including Samuel. So she couldn't be talking about herself. But you know what? I believe she got over it, you know? She finally realized this is not about me and Penina. It's about how me and the Lord relate. How we're going to relate to each other. How I'm going to serve Him. And usually what I have found, if I take care of myself, that's a full-time job anyway. So why do I need to worry about the Penina in my life? Drop down to verse 9 for time's sake. He will keep the feet of His saints. Now, I want you to notice that word that the Catholic Church has destroyed, and you will find in some King James Bible, if you got one like this, you can discard it and get you a different one. And it will say, Saint Luke. You know what? All saint means is saved. You know who puts a different different emphasis on that? Catholic people. You know what? I'm a saint. All saint means to set apart and saved. I'm a saint. But I don't need to write something that says Saint Larry on it. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. Right? And so we see that even in the Old Testament, that this woman points out, and she gives back, He will keep the feet of His saints. And you know what? I'll have to say conversely, because if you read 5 and 6, it talks about people stumbling. I believe the lost will ultimately fall flat on their face. You say, well, that's a little judgmental. No, it's not. If you believe the tulip, you know what P stands for in the tulip? Perseverance of the saints, right? It doesn't mean that the saints will always come out on top like persevere in a battle. But I do believe it means they'll be with faith, they'll remain faithful to the end. I really do. That's why these people that wrap a car around a tree when they're drunk is Cootie Brown. And oh, I remember when he was 12, he made a profession. Well, so what? I don't care if he made 2 professions. He's living like a dog, acting like a dog, and died like a dog. You know what? I say to God, wouldn't you? Don't take rocket science. The Bible says, by their fruits ye will know them. And you know who said that? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I'll go with that. And so we see that we get a little glimpse of the redeemed, and we also get a little glimpse of the reprobate at the same time. He will keep the feet of the saints, so I say the wicked go the other way, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. You know what that is? That's hell. You know what that is? When they have nothing to say. Don't you love when some people just shut up? I do. There's some people, I wish they'd run out of breath. Be silent for a few minutes. You know what? There's some silent people right now. Marilyn O'Hare, she's finally shut up. People like Benjamin. You know, Benjamin Franklin was not a Christian. He was an agnostic at best. Very wise man by men's standards. But you know what? He shut up now. He don't have nothing left to say. And all the God haters in rebellion to God, one day they'll shut up. They'll have nothing left to say because they'll stand before an almighty God that will shut them up for them. And that is what Hannah had come to. Listen, this is not about me. This is not about the Nina. It's about giving God the glory. He will keep the feet of the saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength, get this, for by strength shall no man prevail. Now, all you people that want to bring the Jewish law back in, and all the people down here like the Campbellites, and all that crew right there, you get that verse, you memorize that verse, because it says, by their strength shall no man prevail. In other words, they're not going to be victorious in this place. They're not going to come out on top believing how great they are. They're not going to be setting the standard for other people. In fact, because they're not depending on the work of Christ, the Bible says they won't prevail. They're not going to come out victorious. And so we find that in addition to rejoicing at Samuel's birth, Hannah had learned a whole lot. Hannah had begun to understand that this is a little bit bigger than me. That serving the Lord is better than having a house full of children. And so, we see that. I want to go back very briefly to chapter 1. And we're not going to read all of that for time's sake. But you find a man, Elkanah, that had his two wives, Peninnah and Hannah, and they're going down to the temple to worship. You will also find they are not Jews. They are from one of the tribes that they defeated. They had picked up on Jewish truth, which was fine. You know what? There was a way to become a Jew if you weren't born a Jew. There's always been access to the throne. And so, I don't know when that happened, but they understood the great God of the Bible. And Hannah had the little hummy-drummies going on. And every one of us get the little hummy-drummies. Elkanah, I don't have no kids. And you find also in the same area that Peninnah comes along and gives a little nudge. And says, you know what, you ain't got no youngins, not that seven. And she gets the hummy-drummies because she listens to other people. And you know what? You'll get the hummy-drummies as long as you're focused on somebody else and not focused on Christ. Yeah. And you know what? Peninnah was artful at what she did. And you know what? The world's going to be artful at taking your mind off Christ. They're very good at it. And what you find is you live 50 or 60 or 70 miserable years and you go out into eternity and it's like, well, duh, I should have been focused on Christ the whole time. Now, with that thought, I want you to see in verse 11, she bowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things. She had not quite got there because the issue was still about having a boy. It wasn't about serving the Lord. But you see a little bit of it. Now, Lord, if you do this, I'm going to give him back to you. First of all, God granted her request. But don't you ever forget this. You do not make deals with God.
Amen.
You don't. If you do this, Lord, I'll do this. Well, first of all, God's sovereign. And the Bible says He doeth whatever seemeth good unto Himself. Does that mean you can't pray? No. But don't you think that you're going to say, well, I'll do this if you'll do this. It don't work that way. That's nothing more than an idol. Did you ever think about that? That's all it is. And so we find that Hannah had not quite got the full idea of who God really was. Verse 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And I'll interject this. If you remember Eli's youngins, Hophni and Phinehas, he could rebuke Hannah, but he couldn't rebuke them, could he? You watch what you think about other people's youngins. Right? You know who I'm responsible for? Not even this one anymore. He's grown, that one's grown. So I'm responsible for this one, I'm responsible for that one. I'm not responsible for anybody else's youngins. Right? I'm not going to give an account, even for my grandchildren. I love them dearly, but you know what? They're just not mine.
Yeah.
They don't belong to me. And so we see then that we as the Lord's people, we need to be responsible to self and self alone. Don't worry about what other people are doing. And so we find that Eli really wants to give some spiritual advice that he don't even take himself. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured my soul before the Lord.
Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, but be thou, but out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now you know the middle of that story. She goes home, she conceives, and she spends 3 years that she don't go back down to the temple. Hanana and Elkanah must have been going alone. In fact, I know at least Elkanah went because he gave her permission to stay. And they went down there year after year after year, and the whole time she was nurturing Elkanah. In the Jewish culture, you nursed a child until it was 3 years old, and when he was weaned, you cut his hair off and burned it as a sacrifice. And that was Jewish tradition. I want you to see she had made a promise. A razor will never, ever come to his head. Now, I don't know how long his hair got before he died, but I'd say it's way down here. And you know what? Nazarite priests could do that. And they did it. That's when you see these long-haired pictures of Jesus. Because he went to Nazarene, the city, a lot of Nazarene people and others will call him a Nazarite. He wasn't a Nazarite. He was born in Bethlehem of Judah. And he was not even of that tribe. But there were some that did. And Samuel was one of them. It was a commitment that he was making. He would never, ever cut his hair. That was a commitment. And so we see that in this interim, I don't know exactly what happened, except that she did fill the Jewish law. She did fill what was her obligation to him. And after she had done that, and she weaned the boy, she took him down, and she gave him to God. And you know what? It wasn't like, wah, wah, all of a sudden she had six children, because the Bible says she made him a new coat every year and took him down there and gave him a new coat. And I guess he outgrew that one in the year, and she'd go back and take him another one. You know what that is? That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. And then, we found she had three sons and two daughters. See, God blesses faithfulness. She learned some very, very tough lessons. Hannah equated the presence of God with what she considered blessings. You know what? Money's not a blessing. Things are not a blessing. Children can be a blessing, but you can also have a pile of Samsons in your house too. See what I'm saying? What she found out was important was right here. That God was here, and she was here, and she had been near him. That is the blessing of Hannah. Now, I ask you, what are you equating the presence of God with? What do you think, oh, God's blessing me today because blah, 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 blah. Well, be careful what you do with that. Because what the blessing of God is that He'll meet with you. That's the only blessing that we're guaranteed of. What does the Bible say about contentment? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I have to take that verse for what it says. One without the other is not. I've seen lots of people that were contented waiting on their welfare check to come. Haven't you? But I didn't see much godliness about them. I didn't see them get down to the house of God even if they had to walk. I didn't see them lifting up His name and praising Him for who He was. All I saw was that they was contented for what little bit they could get by on. But they don't have both elements, does it? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And you know what we need today? We need the presence of Almighty God in a side-by-side wonderful fellowship, and we need to be content with such as you have. Mm-hmm. And you know what? A huge piece of that is things. It really is.
But another piece of that, if God has placed you here, just be happy with it. You know what? I love to travel and preach. Nothing wrong with that. But I should be most contented right here at New Testament Baptist Church. Because He's planted me, for whatever reason, He's planted me here for a reason. And I need to fulfill it. If He moves you on the backside of the desert because of your work, you know what? You need to be content there. And you need to abide there. And you need to stay there until He moves you. And I'll go even a little further. When He does move you, get out. You know what? I believe personally that the children of Israel were down in Egypt 393 years too long. Because they were given 7 years of sustenance by the nation of Israel through Egypt. And then I think they would come out. But they got used to the provision. Really, if you think about it, the first 2 years they survived on their own. A little bit long from Egypt. So really 5 years and they should have moved on. You know what? Again, be contented where you're at as long as you can, but if God says get up and move, get up and move. If it's 5 years, 10 years, or 2 years, you obey God and He will bless you greatly. So how's your contentment this morning? Have you, like Hannah, gotten down to the point where the Lord puts me, I'm going to serve Him. I'm not going to worry about the bananas in my life anymore. I'm going to serve. And you know what? I think she got to the point where Elkanah was not even first. And I believe she got down to the point of this, that even Samuel wasn't king Peg. Because she gave Samuel to the temple. She finally realized, hey, there's nothing extending beyond this little short span of time but God. So why should I be hung up? And why should you? Why should I? Listen, it go by that. Young people, you listen to me. I'm past middle age, as my children frequently point out to me. Although, if you do the numbers, I might live to be 96, and that would still put me at middle age at the moment. But in all truthfulness, probably I'm at least 10 years past middle age. And so, what have I done for the cause of Christ in that amount of years? How much have I spent being like Hannah had finally got to? And more so than that, what's it going to take me or you to get to the place where Hannah was? What a prayer of praise. Compare those two prayers where she was so needy and all she wanted was something from God to the point she just praised Him that she could walk with Him. That's where we need to be. We need to be where we're content to walk closely to God. Plus nothing, minus nothing. You know, I have found this, that when we start trying to manipulate and change things to our benefit, it's just because we're not satisfied.
No.
We're just not satisfied. And we need to be. We need to be happy.